We are in the midst of a sermon series called Getting Real. We talked the first week about the importance of taking off our masks and getting real with God and others and ourselves. We talked about how it is authenticity and not perfection that draws other people to us and to Christ. And then the next week, we reflected on how all of us experience feelings of loneliness and emptiness in our lives. And that begins to be filled as we realize that we don't have to perform for other people, as we begin to trust others, and as we seek help from each other. Last week, we talked about the fear of failure, and we looked specifically at faith risks God may be calling us to take individually and as a church. Next week, we're going to conclude this series as we deal with our struggle in both giving and receiving criticism. But for today we're going to delve into our feelings of inadequacy and insecurity. Let's pray as we begin. Lord, as we hear your word read and proclaimed, would you open our ears so we can hear? Free us from distractions around us and within us so that we really listen to your spirit. Would you open our minds, give us a glimpse of the divine, and then open our hearts that we might be formed and changed by your message. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. When I was in the third grade, I wanted to impress my friends, and so I informed them that I, Janine Alexander, was a distant relative of Alexander Graham Bell. I missed the fact that Alexander was his first name, not his last name, but the other kids didn't miss that. Now, Velda Graham Bell, you could have gotten away with it. I couldn't. I can be so obnoxious at times. In junior high, our church youth group was going to the circus. And our pastor did something terrible. Our pastor invited a fifth grader to come along with us. We thought that boy was way too young to be coming with us to the circus, and we made sure to let him know that we didn't think he should come because he was too young. Later, the pastor told us that that boy's father had just left, and the boy was hurting and sad, which is why the pastor had invited him to come with us. I still remember that. I can so easily become part of a clique and be insensitive to the needs of others. I got a D in Greek the first time I took it in seminary. You'll never hear me parsing Greek words from up here. And I had to repeat the class. I can be so academically challenged at times. Dad, you'll remember this. When I got my driver's license, I had 3 accidents in a 2-year period, totaling out 2 cars. In fact, the second time it was so bad, my dad had gotten me AAA, but I got out of the car, it was my fault, and I yelled, "Send AA, send AA." They thought that was a good idea, and I don't think my driving has improved much because my last youth group gave me a sign with the letters HWJD, how would Jesus drive? Once an elderly man called and asked me to bring him communion, and I told him that I would definitely do that in a day or two. He died the next day, and I never got communion to him. Where are my priorities? What kind of pastor am I? I'm not in the physical shape that I'd like to be in. Too often, I talk without thinking. I can be impulsive, and I walk differently than most people do, or so I'm told. I've just shared with you some pretty convincing evidence for my feelings of inadequacy. I've been dealing with insecurities for as long as I can remember. Actually, for the most part, I tend to feel pretty good about myself. I have a healthy and strong esteem. But I am far from perfect, and I know it. How about you? Do you have your own stories and lists of defeats, failures, self-doubts, fears, blunders, and imperfections? Are you able to admit them? Or are you the type of person who has to put them off on other people and other people's faults? On the outside, does it sometimes look like you've got everything together, but on the inside, you know better? We're not alone in this. Did you know that the Bible has story after story of people dealing with imperfections and feelings of inadequacy and insecurities? Take Moses from our scripture reading, which Jeff so beautifully read this morning. Moses had a very impressive list of accomplishments. Moses was an Israelite, a Jew, and he was born at a time when the Egyptian Pharaoh decreed that all Jewish babies were to be put to death. But Moses' mother, she put Moses in a basket and put him in the water, and guess who found him? Pharaoh's own daughter, and she took him and raised him as her own, and so he had a privileged childhood filled with power and entitlements and privilege. Then, later on, when Moses was cast out of Egypt for killing an Egyptian who was oppressing the Jews, he had the strength and the fortitude to survive the harsh wilderness. And then he saved some female shepherds who were being oppressed by male shepherds, and the girl's father, Jethro, was so thankful to him, he invited him to live and work with them under the protection of their community. And then God chose to appear to Moses through a burning bush. What an honor to be so selected by God. And then Moses manages to get the Jewish people released from captivity, and he leads them to freedom with many, many miracles happening along the way, and he led the people all the way to the promised land. Now, wouldn't you think with that list of accomplishments, Moses would be a very secure person? I mean, he saw God face to face in that burning bush. Wouldn't you think he'd be someone with deep confidence in who he was and in what he was doing? But I've only told you part of the story. There's another side to Moses, too. Moses was sent away from his people of birth, or he would have been killed. He had to flee for his life when he lost his temper and killed an Egyptian. Then when God miraculously appeared to Moses in a bush and called him to lead the Israelite people out of their bondage in Egypt, what did Moses do? He responded in fear, claiming that he couldn't talk well, and he asked God to send someone else. He was insecure about his abilities, so unsure of himself. When he finally went to Pharaoh to demand the release of the Israelites, he encountered failure after failure after failure before he finally secured their release. Then it took 40 years of trampling around in the wilderness with the Israelites before they reached their destination of the promised land. And the Israelite people, they were constantly complaining and grumbling and challenging his leadership. They even created a plan to throw him out, and thousands of people voted for this plan. And then there was the hardest blow of all. When he finally got the people to the top of the mountain where the promised land lay before them as far as the eye could see, God told Moses that Moses would not enter it with them. And Moses died there in his 120th year. Do you think maybe Moses, the great accomplished leader, struggled throughout his life with feelings of inadequacy and insecurity? I think he was a whole lot like you and me in this. He experienced times of feeling confident, pleased with his accomplishments and who he was, and he experienced times when he felt scared, unsure of himself, and not up to the task. So what about us? What can we do when we find ourselves like Moses, battling feelings of insecurity and inadequacy? I've got a list of suggestions for us to look at, some from Moses' story, some advice from the Christian author Craig Groeschel, and some from my own experiences. Listen for that which resonates with you, for that which God speaks to you. First, when we find ourselves battling feelings of insecurity and inadequacy, we need to focus on God's power rather than on our own powerlessness. God performed miracles for Moses in order to increase Moses' confidence in God's ability, but Moses still focused on his inability to speak well. I mean, Moses had the signs, he had the miracles, and still his inability kept him from seeing God's great ability. Friends, if God puts a calling on our heart to do something, or face something that is hard or challenging or painful, God promises that God will equip us for the task, no matter what it is, no matter how scary or hard it is. You see, God doesn't always choose the prepared, but God does always prepare the chosen. And so when you're facing something, remember that God will prepare you with on-the-job training and with help, and sometimes that help will come from surprising places if only we will see it and receive it. Number two, when we're dealing with feelings of inadequacy and insecurity, let's remember that God will use us in spite of our insecurities, and sometimes God will use us where we're most insecure. When Moses said he couldn't do what God was asking because of his fear of public speaking, God told Moses that God would help him speak and would teach him what to say. There's a lot of research out there that tells us that we should work and serve in areas of our strength and our giftedness. I agree with this. God has given each of us a variety of wonderful gifts, and when we use these gifts, we find great joy and great meaning, and wonderful ministry happens, and people's lives are made better. But sometimes God calls us outside of our comfort zone, or situations in life force us outside of our comfort zone. And in those cases, we call upon God to develop us in areas where we feel weak or are at least not feeling strong. Is there an area in your life where you're feeling weak? What is God calling you to do or face, or what are life's circumstances demanding that you do or face that kind of scares you, that keeps you up awake at night? Maybe God's calling you to a change in a job or even in a career. Maybe God is calling you to engage in some area of mission or social justice. Maybe there's a change in a relationship that you need. Maybe it's facing a fear or a pain that you have kept hidden. Maybe it's forgiving someone that you just haven't been able or willing to forgive. Maybe it's taking on a challenge that you don't feel ready or prepared for and that you don't particularly want to take on. Our scripture reading this morning from 2 Corinthians reminds us that in those areas of fear and insecurity and human pain and questioning and challenging, that God's grace is sufficient for us and that God's power is made perfect in our weakness. What this means is that it's okay to feel unsure of ourselves from time to time, that God can work through that and still use us to do and face important things, and that God can work through those insecurities and help us grow and be whole. And so when we feel our insecurities coming out, rather than giving in to them or lashing out, let's step out and take action on what we believe God is calling us to do and face, and remember that God promises to help us and strengthen us, walk with us, and grow us. That God's grace will be sufficient no matter what we face. And that God's power can indeed be made perfect even in the midst of our weakness. Number three. In dealing with insecurity and inadequacy, we need to do what is right regardless of what others may want us to do and regardless of what others do to us. When we cave into temptations, We don't feel good about ourselves, and in so doing, we contribute to our feelings of inadequacy or insecurity, right? But we develop a godly sense of esteem when we choose to do what is right, regardless of what other people are doing. When we choose to take control for our behavior rather than letting other people control it. When someone hurts us, or talks badly about us, or doesn't treat us the way we want to be treated, or causes us pain and frustration, refusing to return that kind of behavior and still choosing to treat them with kindness and respect. It's so hard to do, and it doesn't feel very fair, but it increases our feelings of security, our feelings of well-being. Number four. Don't believe everything your fans say about you, but don't believe everything your critics say about you either. There are going to be some people in your life who believe you can do no wrong. Well, they are wrong about that. We need to be cautious so that our fans don't keep us from growing and seeing the truth about ourselves. In the same way, we need to be careful not to believe everything our critics say. Listening to constructive criticism is wise, but focusing too much on what our critics say and on negative comments will zap our energy and deflate our spirit and keep us from moving forward. So don't listen extensively to your fans or to your critics. Listen instead to God. And finally, and most importantly, it all really comes down to this. Remember that the opinion that matters most is God's. Listen to what God says about you. And this is what God says. God created you. God loves you unconditionally. God offers you forgiveness, strength, and new opportunities. God has meaningful ministry for you and growth for you, no matter your age, no matter your situation. And God promises to equip you to do or face all that is before you. So don't listen to people who tell you that you aren't good enough. Don't listen to those recorded messages of negative words that you so easily play in your mind and replay again and again. Instead, listen to God, who says, "You are beloved." Let's go back now to the story of Moses. Remember, we left him on a mountain looking down on the promised land, and God didn't allow him to enter the promised land, and he died on that mountain. That's quite a sad ending to the story, isn't it? Was it worth everything that Moses went through when he didn't end up being able to enter the promised land with the Israelite people? His hope in life was unfulfilled. God called Moses, and Moses had times of triumph and times of trial. He had times of success and times of defeat. He had periods of confidence and periods when he wanted to give up because he felt like he didn't have anything left. He had seasons of profound faith and seasons of desperate doubting. But I don't believe Moses would have had it any differently. You see, God had created him, and God called him, and God's hand was upon him, and Moses continually received glimpses of God's presence, which always gave him something to hold on to, even in the most trying and difficult times. And though Moses didn't enter the promised land here on earth, he walked with God and entered God's eternal home. Sisters, brothers, friends in Christ, like Moses, we too are going to have times of triumph and trial, moments of success and failure, periods of confidence and periods of deep insecurity, seasons of faith and seasons of doubt, times when our hope in life goes unfulfilled. And in it all, God will give us continual glimpses of God's presence if we will but look and see, and trust. Beloved ones in Christ, let's keep seeking God. Keep responding to God's nudgings in our life. Keep growing and healing and loving and allowing God to use us to bring the kingdom of heaven right here on earth, right where we are. Beloved ones, know this. Regardless of our past, regardless of our current circumstances or our perceived limitations, we are adequate. Because God created us and loves us. Regardless of our mistakes, our sins, our failures, our feelings of inadequacy, our fears, we can still be secure. Because God calls us God's own, and each day gives us new opportunities. What is God nudging you to do, to face, to be? You can do it. You are enough. You are beloved. You are treasured. You don't need to compare yourself with others. You are God's cherished one, God's beloved. Amen and amen.